Our gospel reading this Easter morning comes from the 28th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and Mary went to the tomb. And suddenly there was an earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings!' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' This is the word of the Lord." Well, I want to think with you a little bit about what it means to be involved in resurrection living. We're going to take a stop here for our children and family time. It is great to have the Alleluias back out here to be singing Jesus' praise and to the glory of God. But what does it mean to enter into resurrection living? Gathered here at the example of a home altar. You'll remember that earlier I built this by running around my house, grabbing a milk crate. You could take and put a book over top of the milk crate, throw a tablecloth over top of that, grab a candle, a cross, and a baptismal bowl. The baptismal bowl is really important in the midst of it. It gives us the ability to run our fingers through the water, mark the sign of the cross on our forehead, and remember that we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In this Resurrection Sunday, it is important for us to remember that when we were baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. We were given this incredible abundance of grace that through these waters we are told again and again, God loves us, God forgives our sins, we don't have anything to be afraid of, including death itself, so we are set free. So the question becomes, how do we live, right? What's resurrection living? And the truth is, this is what stewardship is all about. What does it mean to be a steward of these gifts given? So I learned something from my granddaughter Natalie, probably when she was about 3. It was the first time that driving around town with her mom and dad that she noticed a person standing with a sign that said, "I'm hungry, I have no money." She asked them, couldn't read at the time, what the sign said and what was going on. They told her, and she said, "Stop. We need to get him some food." She was insistent until they went and got some food and brought it to this person standing in the middle of the highway. That's resurrection living. It's the ability to take in the midst of life and live what we believe. We do that here through your church as well all the time. We help people enter into resurrection living. This week, there was a call here at the church, and in the midst of that call, we found out that the person could use some food. There's some medical issues. There's some other issues that are going on. We've also had people who are members of the congregation call us and say, "You know what? If there is anyone that needs food, if they need someone to run out and buy groceries or miscellaneous items for them, let me know. I'd be glad to do that." We were able to put those two together along with some gift cards from the congregation to provide food, and meals were made possible. That's resurrection living through you. And I want you to hear that the person who said, I have a need, actually gave a gift. And the gift was that she let somebody else serve. There was joy all around. I lift this up to you and let you know that this would be a great time if you have a moment and if you haven't sent your offering in to any of our three churches. Those of you who are watching live stream have the ability to see our addresses. Those of you who are listening on the radio, Trinity Lutheran, 502 North 4th Street. Grace in Driscoll is 303 Main Street. St. Luke is 107 South Centennial Street. Resurrection Living. These baptismal waters change us. We are pushed out in Jesus' name. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. This is a different sort of Easter. There's no question about it. In the midst of all that's happening around us in the world, I will tell you, I will confess, Easter snuck up on me. Wednesday, late afternoon, the executive council of your church council had a meeting via technology. I left the church about 6 o'clock, and as I was driving up 4th Street, all of a sudden it hit me. Tomorrow is Maundy Thursday. Now, let me assure you that we have been working on these services long before that 24-hour notice in my brain. For a couple of weeks, we had been working on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and pulling together Easter Sunday, not just me, but a whole group of people here at the church thinking about these things. And while all of that work was going on, it still escaped me in this crazy world that Easter was actually coming. Does it feel different to you as well? I've got to tell you that I dreamed that my first Easter Sunday here with you all would be much different. I dreamt of all sorts of smiling faces packing this sanctuary, that we would be able to yell together, Alleluia, He is risen. He is risen indeed. And while we've spoken those words, they've kind of echoed in here, in this cavernous sanctuary where only 10 people are gathered. It is still a celebration, but it's much different than I had imagined. And I know that our Easter dinner is going to be different as well. Mom and Dad won't be there. My mother-in-law won't be there. My sister and brother-in-law, my brother and sister-in-law, our kids and grandkids, they won't be there. It'll just be four of us, and maybe that's the same for you, just a small gathering, or maybe you'll be by yourself on this Easter as we've lived into this social distancing and staying apart for the sake of staying healthy. It is a different Easter, but then again, I want to wonder if it's maybe just all right that it is different. Maybe this different kind of Easter gives us the ability to step back and to ponder what Easter and Easter living might really be about. I wonder what it would be to sift the activities of our lives, to determine what is really important and what we want to hold on to and what we might want to put aside. We have been forced, or we've chosen, depending on how you look at it, to set aside our normal patterns of living. Maybe now we can sit and assess what is really important. Where do we want to invest our time? I invite you to look back with me on our Lenten journey. It seems like a lifetime ago that we gathered together here in this sanctuary or up in the community center, and we marked ashen crosses on our forehead, and the words were said again and again and again, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember, from dust you come, and to dust you shall return. A stark reminder that none of us gets out of this life alive. We all die. And the choices that we make between this moment and the rest of our lives really do matter. This Easter, this very stark and different Easter, hear clearly this message. The victory has been won. Christ has defeated death, darkness, and the devil. There's no question. We're still all going to die at some time, but through the baptismal waters, we've been connected to Jesus' death and resurrection. Through no action, no merit, no words or works of our own, Jesus' resurrection has become our gift. A sheer gift. Just as the earth shook as the stone was rolled away from the empty tomb, our worlds should be shaking with this realization as well. But here's the question. If we believe that, then what next? So let me tell you a story. A story that I cannot verify. I am not certain it's true, but true or not, it's a great story. It is said that the first Vikings who encountered Christianity and made the decision to become believers in the risen Christ, that they were brought to rivers or lakes, and as they were taken into the waters to be baptized, to be dipped into those waters in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, it is said that they held their swords strongly up out of the baptismal waters. Why? Because they heard that encountering this living Christ changed you. And they weren't ready to give up the sword yet. They knew that someday they may be called to battle again and they would have to kill. Scripture gives us solid examples of people who encounter the risen Christ and are changed, drastically changed as they move forward in the rest of their lives. We got to hear Peter's confession this morning in Acts chapter 10. That book is actually called The Acts of the Apostles. It is the story of the apostles encountering the world early on, the actions that they did. This is the same Peter, you will remember, the night that Jesus was arrested, stood around a fire with other people and three times denied that he even knew Jesus. Encountering the resurrected Christ, Peter is now set free as a bold proclaimer. Read in the book of Acts and you will encounter Saul of Tarsus, one who had a hunting license to go and round up followers of Jesus to arrest them. On a road alone, he is confronted by the resurrected Jesus. He is thrown from his horse. He becomes blind. And in the midst of it, he is transformed. He becomes the one who is the missionary to the Gentiles. People are changed by encountering the resurrected Christ. What about me? What about you? I challenge you today to sit around your home altar, either by yourself or gather your family. And I invite you to ponder three simple questions. What's central to me or to us as a family? What are our cornerstones? What are the things that no matter what, we won't give up? That's number one. Sounds like a lot of questions, but it was only one. When you make those statements about what are central, then I want you to look back at where you spend your time. Does what you spend your time on align with that which you say is central to your life or not? And if they don't align, then what needs to change? And the last question is, if your life has changed over this last month that feels like a year and a half, if your life has changed, when we get the green light to go back to whatever is going to be the new normal, what is it that you want to hold on to and take with you? Now, I don't lay these questions in front of you with some preconceived expectation that your answers are going to be, I'm going to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. I hope you might come to that realization. But I also know that the truth is, you might come to a different realization. Let me tell you a quick story. Raleigh Martinson, a professor, pastor at Luther Seminary, tells the story of traveling once on an airplane. He's the guy who actually strikes up conversations with the person sitting beside him. And the person, when he found out that Raleigh was a pastor and a seminary professor, the guy said, oh, well, I used to attend a church. And Raleigh asked the question, you said used to. So what about now? The gentleman said that he and his family sat down, they took stock of their lives. Their lives were crazy. They decided that they needed to make some decisions about what they would continue with and what they would set aside. And they came to the conclusion that church really was of very little personal value to any of them. So it was church that was set aside. I lay an honest question in front of you. Are you ready to walk into resurrection living where you are a changed person, where you are able to be the gospel in the midst of the people that you live and work, in the midst of the community that you are? And honestly, I believe that these are questions that we as congregations, or if you're a member of Trinity Lutheran, that we at Trinity should be asking. So we say in our mission statement that we are a people that welcome all people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that it is our desire to equip people with a vital living faith, and that we want to send our people into a world to serve in Jesus' name. Well, what would it look like if we really lived that? If we not only welcomed, but we seriously invited, where we told people that we find life and hope and meaning in this place, what would it look like if we gathered together in Bible study, in prayer, whether it is over the internet or face-to-face in the building, to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus, to go out? What would it look like to live for the sake of others? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite you to take stock of life on this Easter Sunday, which is the strangest Easter I have ever lived in my years. Let the resurrection take root in our lives, and let us never be the same again. Amen.